Have a seat, guys. Well, what did you think? You know, he's always been a hero of mine since I picked up one of the very first books that I had the privilege to read that he wrote. And then I couldn't put down a number of the books that he'd written.
Which ones could you put down?
Well, Bonhoeffer. You know, and I, you know, I, Bonhoeffer was the first one. And I'd read George Mueller of Bristol by A.T. Pearson, and that was one of those things that captivated me about heroes. And I couldn't find any modern day authors that were writing things that inspired me in my Christian walk until, Eric, you started coming into my purview, and I've been blessed ever since. And you're just a
treasure. Well, listen, I don't know if you said it earlier. I don't think you said it. The only reason this film was made was because this guy. Because so you understand, I was invited to speak in this church. I've been invited to speak here a number of times, but I was invited to speak on this book, I don't know, about 18 months ago, whatever it was, and I spoke here, and there were two Hollywood veterans, old, grizzled Hollywood veterans, who attend, that was the joke.
I know.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to get the people who are slow like me.
So they were here, and they said, oh, yeah, this message needs to be a film. And they approached me, and I said, I don't believe you're going to do it. And I still don't believe you're going to do it, but somehow they did it. They did all this. You need to understand who did this. They did this. Yeah.
Now, if you don't know who they are, this is Simone Alex. She was a council member for the city of Fillmore. She's also an actress who has done a number of parts in Hollywood. And then we got over here Rachel Tash, who... A high-level executive from Sony Pictures.
He threw it all away for God.
Amen. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Absolutely.
Is that on?
No, I don't think these are.
Hello. Is this, is this one?
This is. We're trying to production.
Rachel has Tourette's.
Hello.
It's turned off.
I think it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Give her a little more juice.
Sorry about that.
It's got a soft voice.
Yes, I do it all again.
Amen. Amen.
But I mean, the reason I said that is, like, how appropriate is it? This all began in this church because of this man and these women, and the idea that we have premiered this film in this church tonight, that's God's timing. That's
full
amazing.
Full circle to come back. Yeah, absolutely. This was done in an incredibly fast timeline for a film. Most films take 2, 3, 5 years in Hollywood. We accelerated and we got it done. It's very timely, as you can see, very topical. You know, we couldn't get everything in that we wanted to get in because, as you know, the culture is changing every day. Something is happening. And at one point, we just had to stop and go. And we wanted to get it out as quickly as possible so everybody could see it, the parallels of what has happened then and what is happening now, and hopefully awaken this church. This coming year is so, so important, guys. Right. As you all know, I don't have to tell you, this is why we're at this church. This is an incredible, incredible church. And we just love Pastor Rob and Rick and everybody here. And it wouldn't have been done without him. So full circle to come back here. I sat in the front row, heard Eric speak. I'm a visual person. I said, I got to make this into a film. Simone and I started talking, texted his wife, and it just took off from there. Pitched
That's
it
how you
to
do
Charlie.
It. You text the wife.
Yeah. Go to the wives. You want something done, go to
we
the wives.
We still text every day, actually.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you all were very gracious in attributing this to me, but the reality is there's not a sweeter congregation on the face of the earth. You afford me the ability, in me being absent from you, to meet people and be engaged in a level to be, in a sense, the tip of the spear, or be with people who are at the tip of the spear. And, you know, for Pastor Rick and myself, we're just blown away at your understanding of all this. I mean, I'm missing Sundays at times, and yet I come back and you still have a smile on your face and you haven't left. And And you actually probably like the speakers who filled in my absence, and that's okay too. But you're the ones who deserve this credit because you afford me the ability to just be a part of all of this. And I just want to say thank you. So please clap for yourselves. All right.
I'm so impressed at the number of people who showed up. And then I realized they didn't pay anything. But I just want to say there's tons of people in the overflow room. And I want to say to the people in the overflow room, why did you show up late? Why? No, it's such a blessing, honestly, to get the word out. We are making this film available free to churches because we want to get the word out. But we need to make our money back. We're not in it for the money. We got to make the money back.
That's right.
So we do hope that, you know, people will go. It's going to be on epochtv.com on February 8th. But we want everyone in America to see this, right? This is about changing something, right? This is not just about a film, God forbid. This is about saving this nation for God's purposes, right?
Amen.
That's what it's about.
Simone, how did this film come about? The storyline. I mean, I know you know Rachel. You had commented there's so much, and you had to take some of it out. But truly, what inspired the two of you? I mean, I know you called Eric's wife or texted. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a lot of people who are inspired to do something or feel something needs to be done, but to step up, and you guys know what it entails to produce a film mm-hmm. and the expenses involved. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not rolling in cash, and you know, you're not either.
Right.
And so you step forward in faith. What inspired that?
Well, I was inspired, and I'm not just blowing smoke. I was inspired by going to this church and having been on council, and Rob has just been so supportive of any of us doing anything and being warriors. And Rachel and I met through this church because he had brought me up on stage to share my story about running for council and then in my background in Hollywood, and then we connected. And I think basically a couple things. One, when you read the book and you read the story of Bonhoeffer and you think this guy, you know, risked his life to stand up for the people and he wouldn't shut up. And, you know, you think, well, everyone's like, oh, I want to be that, or I look up to that. It's like, there's so many people who say, I look up to that, I want to be like that, and then they don't do it. And I just feel like we're at a moment in time where we need to make a decision. We're at a crossroads. You're either going to do something or you're not going to do something. And the way that I see it is that we are accountable for what we do and what we don't do. And it's just like, you know, it's just like watching, you know, the powerful, all of those clips. It's one thing to read his books, but once I started, and we have about 800 clips in the film, which, believe me, was not easy to pull and organize. But, you know, once you start putting the clips to understanding cultural Marxism and when you see it, there's one moment in the film when, and I was really fascinated about watching, you know, Nazi Germany projects over the years, but there's one moment in the film, or two moments actually. There's one where in the early part where this woman looks into the camera. She's a young girl and she's being carted off, and she looks into the camera and she's like, "Help me." And then there's another moment towards the end of the film when there's that little girl looking out the train and she's like, "Help me." And I just thought, what kind of people are we that we don't help them, that we don't help the Chloe Coles, that we don't tell the story, that we don't help you understand cultural Marxism, because it's certainly not being taught on mainstream media or in any TV show coming out of Hollywood or anything. I didn't understand cultural Marxism until I started this film. So it just was about saying yes to God. And that's what you tell us to do, is say yes.
And I ran away quite a few times, but God kept bringing this project back. He would not let me go. So when God puts a vision and something in your heart, you have to do it. You have to put aside all your fears, your preconceived notions. You have to put it aside and you have to do what he's calling you to do. Otherwise, why are we here? We are here to be the salt in the light. I walked away from a great job in Hollywood, a ton of money, all the Oscars, everything, winning all this stuff to come over and to build for the kingdom. That's what's important and that's why we're here. And just a layer on top of what Simone said, my grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, so I grew up with that, with her telling me stories. She was from Poland. They took her when she was a child. They threw her in her boxcar. They took her to Germany. She was in two different concentration camps. She was one of the lucky ones. She survived. She came to America. She became a citizen the right way. She did it. And my mom was born here. And it's like, you know, I grew up with all these people that had survived the Holocaust and had been POW. So I constantly heard it growing up. So I also, that was a very personal appeal to me to do the film too, was because I had grown up with it and I had experienced and heard all these horrific stories. So I just don't want history to be repeated, and I want people to know what happened. And you know, they're really trying to erase all that. So we have to be the voices and let people know, you know, what is happening.
Amen. Eric, things inspire you to write books. I mean, William Wilberforce, the book he wrote, that was moving. I mean, everything I pick up. But this is different. Your Christian walk and your heart for the lost, you have one of the most tender hearts I've ever come across. You love people, it's evident to me. Now, you're a little caustic in your humor, but you love people. And that's your love language anyways. I know I'm loved when you pick on me, and I'm really loved. Yeah, amen. And I... This is almost, especially with the title, it's almost like, you know, this is the 67th book of the Bible to you. You Letter to American
Church. That's blasphemous, but yes.
Yeah.
No,
he loves me.
No, it's true. So, look, let's be honest. I have never written a book for Christians. Every book I write is for everybody on purpose. It's meant to be evangelistic, right? So Christians will buy my books, but I hope they'll share it with a neighbor, or, you know, I'm trying to reach as many people as possible. I've never before ever thought that I would write a book like this. But how many people believe the Holy Spirit still speaks today?
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, it's good because he does. And I know God called me to write this book. I wouldn't just say that. This is not some career move, you know. This was not, hey, I got a great idea for... I knew God called me to write this. I won't get into the details, but except that I can't say that about any other book I've written before, even though I can look in retrospect and see God's hand was on me. He created me to write the Bonhoeffer book. He's been guiding me, but I've never had the feeling that I felt with this book. I wasn't even going to find a publisher. I was going to publish it myself because I said, I've got to get this message out. I had this burning desire. I said, I got to get this message out. This is what God wants me to write this. It's kind of a bizarre thing. Never happened to me before. And then weirdly, I was at the NRB convention or whatever, and I was planning to publish this myself. Just like, I didn't care. I said, I just want to get it out, and it's going to find its way into the hands of whatever pastors God has ordained for it to reach. And I was at NRB, and the publisher, who wanted to talk to me about some other ideas, and I was, you know, I was open, but I was not really interested because I want to write this and publish it myself, said, we got some ideas for your books to write, and then they described this book. And I said, well, wait a minute. I have not shared that with anybody. This was God.
Amen.
This was God's idea. And I knew right away it's God, and obviously that was confirmation to me that I should let them publish it, that I wouldn't publish it myself. But I never expected it to do well. But everywhere I go, people are like, I bought 5 copies to give to my pastors, and I got... So clearly God is in this. And then when I come to a church like this and I speak about it, and God puts it on the hearts of 2 grizzled Hollywood veterans that they should make a film about this, and how many times do people just blow smoke, they've got a great idea, but nothing happens, but that they actually did it? And I think you know that, you know, it's one thing to write a book. I've never made a film. They made this film. This is an amazing film.
Yeah.
It's not just the content, the way it was made, everything about it. The fact that that happened and that we're sitting here and that the film is made and by God's grace it's going to get out to more and more people, there's no way to see that other than as a sovereign act of the Lord. And we need to understand the Lord has given us the privilege to be alive at this moment. We're in a holy moment. You know, at the end of this, I say this is the hour of the American church. This is the hour of the American church. It really is. God is calling us to do something, to step up, to put our faith into action. And I did not plan this. A couple of years ago, if you said to me any of this stuff, I'd be like, I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
But God did it. He did it.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want to ask the two ladies, you guys have chosen, I mean, distribution is always a difficult thing for a film, especially one that, you know, has a theme like this. And you guys have chosen to release it at Epoch Times. What are also some of the other instruments you're going to use to get this out to? Because if it's not seen, it's kind of like the Bible. If it's not read.
This is the delivery system right here.
Amen. We got that.
Because I just want to be real clear. Because you saw it for free, God is going to use guilt. God, I believe the Lord can move through guilt, and he's gonna make you understand now you've been suckered into this. There's no such thing as a free lunch. Now you know that, all right, you got to give back. So you saw it for free, but now you got to tell others, you got to get out there. We're going to be, you know, doing this in a number of churches because we want everybody to see it. But honestly, if you believe in the message, you're the delivery system. That's it. And the website, of course, is lettertotheamericanchurch.com. All the information is there.
Amen.
So we had, and this was also the Lord, that at the time we started this film, I think we had a friend who was not working at the Epoch Times. And then over the course of us making the film, he got hired as one of the executives at the Epoch Times. And at the very beginning of the inception of this, we had been chatting with him about this idea. And he's like, this is an amazing idea. Like, you guys need to make it. You guys need to put it out. And so it was like God putting together the pieces of the puzzle. And then we talked to him through the editing process, which also we wouldn't be able to do this without our amazing editor and his wife, our graphic designer, who did all of the graphics and
the
editing. So
where
I feel like
Janice and Jason.
Don't be shy.
Bless you guys.
They're a pivotal part of this team.
Yeah.
We get to sit up here, and then they're standing down there. But they've worked, you know, just as hard as we have on this. But he said, okay, well, I'm going to get it to the executive at Epoch, like the second in command at Epoch. And I don't know if any of you know this, but the Epoch Times is owned and run by Chinese immigrants. They fled communism, so they're here fighting for our country so that this doesn't happen here. So, yeah.
They also immediately got on board. They saw a very, very small clip of the film. They loved it. They said they wanted it. And let me tell you, we went to some other people and they said no. So we hit quite a few walls of doing that. We also wanted to go with them because they are a very large reach when it comes to conservative. And we didn't want this to just stay in the church echo chamber. Obviously, churches need to see it and it will be free. And any of the churches can sign up on our website. We hope that it gets to 1,500 churches. That's our goal. So please, you know, let people know this can play all the way through the election time. So, you know, anyone can sign up on there, any of the churches. And they got on board right away and they said yes. So we went with them.
And I just want to say one more thing, too. We live in this world of ministry and, you know, giving and all of these things and doing it for free and doing it for ministry and, you know, doing it to serve and all of that. Now, all of that's great, but, you know, at some point, we as Christians and conservatives, we have to cop to that this is a business model and people need to be paid what they're worth. And so when we hired our crew, we paid them, you know, scale. Rachel and I were kind of looking up, like, what's scale for, you know, a gaffer, you know? We're like, you know, because we wanted to pay people what they're worth and not, like, make a chintzy film. Because when you chintz on your cast and your crew, when you're, like, pay them pennies, you get pennies. And we wanted this to be Hollywood you know,
quality,
level,
yeah,
quality
and
film
level.
With all these people have, like, amazing resumes that have worked on this film. And we hope that you see that. So again, that's why we're also putting it behind a paywall, because when it's free, like, who really, like, it's great, but it's like, who really cares? But when you have to, like, cough up a few dollars for it, it's like, oh, okay, well, I can do that. Like, I'll do that on Amazon. I'll rent, like, you know, Black Hawk Down. I still had to rent, like, a couple weeks ago for $4.50. It's a 20-year-old movie, but I paid for it because I wanted to watch it. So it was a value to me. So yeah. I think there's value to putting it behind a paywall.
We're gonna switch a little bit here, yeah. And this is inspired by your love for your father, who, you know, during the production and producing of this, he went to be with the Lord, and I love the way that you honored him, and the way you love your dad, and that was hard for you, and I know the two of you went through ordeals in the midst of this. It seems very common when something's being birthed as significant as this. Was that, I know it was difficult for you, but how did that all play in for you?
Well, I can say this. I mean, what's today? I'm losing it here.
It's the 31st. It's
yeah. Well, you know, 11 days ago, I buried my dad. And I got to tell you something. First of all, it was God's timing. He's with Jesus, so there's nothing to be sad about. And I want to tell you, My dad grew up in Greece during the war. My mom, who's 89, she grew up in Germany during the war. She grew up in Nazi Germany. And it's because of my parents, who saw evil, they came to this country and they raised their kids to understand, yeah, there's this evil out there. There's this bad. You don't need to be an evangelical Christian to understand reality. And to understand that there's evil out there. And there are a lot of pagans, a lot of non-churchgoers, a lot of people at the Epoch Times who aren't Christians, who understand it way better than most Christians. And the church is supposed to understand this first. And my dad and my mom made me understand that what we have in America is not normal. Don't take it for granted, because we came from countries where we don't have anything like what you have here. And a lot of the kids that I grew up with, they didn't understand it the way I did. Because, you know, their parents didn't go through the war. They hadn't been hungry. They hadn't seen the wicked face of communism. And so it's literally because of my parents that I understand this stuff, that I understand that we have a job to do. We have a job to do. We do not deserve to be free. We do not deserve to live in this country. We don't deserve it. But God has given it to us as a gift. Now we got to do something about it. We got to take our gift of freedom, the voices that we have, and use them. And if you do not use your voice and your freedom and your money for God's purposes, what are you doing? Why do you think God gave it to you? There are tons of people in the world who have no freedom. They have no voice. They have no money. God has given us these things for his purposes. And we've been so blessed in America that we have forgotten that what we have is a gift. It is not normal. We don't deserve it. Why don't you live in North Korea? Why don't you live in China? God has allowed us to live here. And so we got to do something for all those people who don't have what we have, and for the people in this country who are going to lose this gift. So yeah. we're supposed to put our faith into action. And I honestly think sometimes non-Christians get that better than Christians. The Christians have oftentimes, we kind of theologize everything. It's like, well, I believe this and this and this, that makes me a Christian. You've got to live out your faith. I mean, the book, Letter to the American Church, it was going to be called Faith Without Works is Dead. Because I said, that is the sin of the American church, the blind spot of the evangelical church, right? We kind of act as a faith, faith, faith. I believe this, 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 this. Are you living what you claim to believe? And I just believe the Lord has allowed all these evil things to happen, especially in the last 3 years, to wake us up. And because of all these terrible things that have happened, we get this amazing church and we get people activated and saying, yeah, I'm interested in that kind of a church. I'll go to that kind of a church. So I'm excited about what God is doing. I just can't help but be excited.
Amen. Ladies, do you have any experience of just a difficulty through the process of this that, you know, because typically the enemy wants us to be, you know, fearful and threaten us. And when Michelle and I venture out on something, he just rages and wants to paralyze us with fear. Anything happen like that in the course of it? I mean, that's not one of the questions that I was, this is my own question.
Yes, there's countless things that have happened. The biggest thing I would say was the day, you know, we were waiting months and months, and we finally, everything aligned. We had Eric here in L.A. We were shooting in downtown L.A., a very, very bad part of L.A., south of USC. Some of you know that area. And then in towards downtown, horrible area. It's like a third world country now. We had rented this sort of gritty warehouse, which is where we shot Eric with the red brick. I loved it. I picked that location. So we show up the day of filming. We've got a crew of like 30, 40 people coming. It's, you know, 6:37 in the morning. Simone calls me. And I'm 5 minutes out, and she's like, "You're never gonna believe this." I said, "Yes, I will, because I know something is gonna happen, because that's how it works." And she goes, "The front door, which was a giant metal, I should have pictures of it, giant metal roll-up door was completely smashed in, and it had a big metal barrier in front of it with barbed wire, because this was a great part of town." So I show up, we get there, her husband Troy, who worked on the film, my husband worked on the film as well, they're both Hollywood veterans. The door smashed in. We find out that the night before, some gangs steal a car. They were trying to find, they were growing pot in the area. And so they backed the car into the door about 15, 20 times in a row to smash the door in. And it's just a big empty warehouse. And we have to have that door closed for sound and for lighting. And we're in a bad part of town, you know. So we roll up and we're like, "Great, what are we going to do now?" Well, her husband and the crew jumped in. They were on a scissor lift. They got it down. They rigged it, put some black stuff for sound. And the owners of the warehouse were just freaking out. They were paralyzed in fear. They didn't know what to do. What are we going to do? And of course, they had two identical warehouses that you could film in. The second one, I was like, "Oh, we'll just pivot into there." "No, it's rented today." Of course, it's rented. And that one was perfectly fine, no damage. So these ladies who owned the facility owned it for 15, 20 years. And I said to them later in the day, I said, Did you ever have any experience here? Anyone getting, you know, robbed, any type of damage?" "No, never had any issues here in this horrible part of LA. Of course, the day that we're going to film a Christian film, everything is trashed."
So I'm gonna tell a story that I don't talk about very much, but this very much has to do with Pastor Rob and just, you know, being under his teachings for a long time. So at the end of the day, during the course of the day with these two women who own this warehouse, one of them for sure is lesbian. The other one was probably a lesbian. But anyway, they're kind of both lesbians, whatever, that are there. And they're roaming in and out as Eric's filming all of his, you know, pieces about all of this stuff. And, like, as the day went on, like, one of them, the more masculine of the two, she was starting to bug Eric, like, what do you think about lesbians? Like, do you hate me? Like, do you want me to be on an island somewhere? And it was like, and we're, you know, we just met Eric, so we're like, "Oh my gosh, she's bothering the star of the film, and like, what
the
are we
star.
Gonna do?"
Bothering the star. Can you believe
the
it?
The star.
What?
And so we didn't have security to, like, you know, so we're like, who are we going to send over? Like, we didn't have, like, so, you know, Eric's able to hold his own in these types of situations, but I didn't want to, like, you know, I didn't.
I don't think I would punch a lesbian on this on the set. I just think
that's your cutoff point.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Eric, so we wrap Eric leaves, thank God, because she just lost it. She was so angry. She was throwing our stuff out of the warehouse. She threw Rachel's purse out. All the swear words, and just get out of here. If I would have known that you would have come in here with your hate and your bigotry and talking so terribly about my people, we would have never let you in. But it was escalated. And I was, you know, we had been done, 2 days of shooting at that point, and I was, or was it one day? I can't even remember. But
this was the end of the second day.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the first day, we had the car bombers.
Yeah.
And the end of the second day,
you
had the unhinged Lebanese woman.
So I don't know what came over me, but I was so just done. I just stood up to her and I just said, "So you're saying that that we're hateful, but you would not have let us in here if you would have known the content. How is that being fair? That you're saying that this is okay for you, but when the tables are turned, you would not let us in. So I started to like confront her with truth, and it was totally Holy Spirit, because I was so exhausted, I didn't have the words to say. But I kept thinking what Rob always says: They're not the enemy. They're the opportunity. They're not the enemy. They're the opportunity. Right. It kept going over in my head. And I was able to, the Lord diffused this situation to the point where we actually sat down civilly and like had this, face-to-face, heart-to-heart conversation. I told her my testimony, which, you know, I mean, my testimony is not different than her lifestyle now. And so I said, look, I am now a Christian, but I know exactly where you are and exactly what you've gone through. And she just couldn't believe that. And so we ended up actually having coffee a few weeks later. We still text to this day.
They're still friends. God is working.
Rachel told me in no uncertain circumstances, do not invite her tonight. That was the one. I was like, why not? Anyway, so yeah, we had a lot more of that.
There's just been so many spiritual battles and mountains all along, just many things, you know, physical things, family attacks, just dementia, so many things that have happened to everyone involved in this film. But, you know, we basically just were like, nothing's going to stop this film from coming out. This is God's project and he wants it out. So, you know, we just kept pushing forward and praying. And we had some amazing prayer warriors. I know a lot of you are here. Thank you, everyone who prayed for us and kept up with the film. So many people are part of this project, not just us up here. It was literally everybody in the church and everyone who knew what was going on. And we greatly, greatly appreciate you guys so much for supporting and praying for us. And keep praying that this message will spread far and wide, that the church will see it, they will awaken, and they will step back into what Rob says, the ecclesia, and get involved, take back our country, back to what it was founded on. Mm-hmm. That's really what we need to do. So,
amen. That's a... I know you've got books to sign. It's a good segue into the last question I want to ask you, and that's, you know, you put up the... What do they call that thing? The QR code, right?
QR code.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. They put up the QR code, and that's the how you support the film. And I want to do it again, but here's why. You all, Turning Point doesn't produce films for the most part, and yet because of our relationship and the connection there, and them wanting to see your voice in America, because it's I really believe God has chosen you for this season. They step forward. Now, because they don't do that and their structure style, they didn't give you the money. They put up a note to allow you guys to produce.
It's just a loan?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What? Is this true? Is this true?
You're gonna have to give your salary back, which is zero. So
no,
you're all right. Yeah. Did I steal your joke?
No.
but what I would say is, you know,
the joke has to be funny.
Yeah.
That's the only
He loves me. I know it. He does. He loves me. But I was thinking for this idea. I mean, that note's on you guys. But in reality, we get to see this launch across the country. You know me. I've never asked for a dime. I'm giving you an opportunity. For all of us. Michelle and I are committed to supporting it. I want all of you to consider doing that, because this is the epicenter of a voice and a message that needs to resonate across the country. And I think if we set the example, the congregations across the country will do the same. So take it, tell them how practical applications of what we do from this point out, in addition to supporting the film, all three of you. And we'll close with that.
I'll speak to that. First of all, I just want to thank Turning Point. I want to thank Charlie Kirk. I want to thank Turning Point Faith.
Thank you.
I want to thank Jared, and I want to thank Will, who are here tonight from Turning Point Faith. I mean, there has been, you know, nothing but support from them in getting behind this film. And everything Rob says is true. But, you know, in the real world, too, you get investors who invest in your film. So that's accurate, you know. But I want to say that there's two ways that you can give. If it's on your heart, you know, whatever's pulling on your heart, you can go to our website, which is lettertotheamericanchurch.com, and there is a support button, and you can give that way, and that's Gives and Go. They've also generously partnered with us. They've been a support, which is why you see all their logo all over us, all over our
materials.
But also, if you feel so led, you can also give separately to Turning Point Faith. They are doing amazing work. They are sending Eric to mega churches around the country to have nights like this and do screenings so that it can, you know, literally, Charlie said, "I want millions of people to see this," and I think that's a prophetic word. And so, if God puts it on your heart to give to either, we would be so blessed. Do what the Lord's telling you to do.
Yeah, exactly. Simone said it best. Whatever you feel led, and you know, we want to see more productions like this, and it takes money and it takes time and it takes really good people that know what they're doing that can produce a quality film at this level. So, and again, thank you to Turning Point and Turning Point Faith. We really appreciate you guys so much.
Amen. You want to add to it?
First of all, you know, I have just said that if it weren't for this brother, none of this would have happened. So I praise the Lord for this church. This is God's ordaining that we would have started here, that we're here tonight, that you're all here. But I also want to say, you know, mainly through my current wife, Suzanne, that she's my only wife. She's I can joke. I can joke because
and like you said,
years.
A joke's supposed to be funny.
Oh, you stole my joke.
Yeah,
that was my joke. But Suzanne, my wife of 27 years, who's a producer on the film, when Margaret Sanger's face comes up, you see produced by Suzanne Metaxas. That was mean that you put Margaret Sanger's face up there. But no, it's so funny. It's hilarious. But what I was gonna say, Suzanne shared with me. You know, while I'm doing all the other stuff I'm doing, what these two amazing women did in making this film, and I just want to tell you, the unbelievable hard work, everything that they put into this, it's unimaginable to me. I know how to write. I don't make films. And what they put into it to make it this level of a film, because if you've seen documentaries, they don't all, you know, have this amazing score and the editing and everything about it that went into it. It's impossible for us to appreciate, those of us who don't make films. But I heard behind the scenes, I saw so much that I'm in awe of it. So I thank God for your faithfulness. You're living out your faith, both of you. And I want to say that this is a holy project. This is God's project. And so one of the things you can do, obviously, you know, some of you have the book. There's a study guide. The idea is to start a movement, to get Christians talking about this stuff and chewing on it and seeing for themselves what we see, right? That we all have a duty, just as Christians in Germany had a duty to speak out for the Jews, to risk their lives, to risk their jobs, because we dare to claim that Jesus defeated death on the cross. Well, you got to live that way, right? You got to live like that's true. And so one thing I want to say to all of you, again, you're a delivery system here, including the people in the overflow room, although not as much, because we know, sorry. So,
thank you.
No, they're lucky they're out there because the smell in this room, right? Wow. Yeah, you dodged a bullet, you guys. So, but seriously, I want to say to all of you, the website is lettertotheamericanchurch.com. Go there, share it with your friends on social media. And then this is a big one. You know, you can encourage people to see the film, right? I hope you'll do that because we literally need to make our money back, right? Like, it's not about making money, but it's about making our money back. But the big thing is getting the message out. So if you go to the website, lettertotheamericanchurch.com, churches are being encouraged to sign up for a free screening, okay? And I want you to encourage people you know in other churches. Mm-hmm. Sign up for a free screening. It is free.
And if a church is not interested in doing a free screening of this film, I want to know why people are interested in going to that church.
Good point.
Because people say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You can do a million things, but one thing I know you can do is not go to a church and not give God's money to a church that is not in this battle. Mm-hmm. We are in a battle for the soul of this nation for mm-hmm. God's purposes. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are going to churches that want nothing to do with any of this stuff, that are mm-hmm. part of that 12,000 in the middle that says, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to take a pass. Mm-hmm. We'll let the hotheads take the heat.
Yeah.
Well, that's not right. Mm-hmm. And you should not be supporting a church like that. So I just want to encourage you to share the website, lettertotheamericanchurch.com, with as many people as you can and encourage them to get their church to do a free screening of this, because we want desperately to spread this message. This is God's message. Praise the Lord.
Let me see if I can summarize what you said. They stink and they're to give you money.
No. No, not the people, the room. There's something died in here, man. It's nasty.
I just wanted to say one more thing or a couple more things. You can have watch parties. So on February 8th, if you're an Epoch Times subscriber, you can watch for 24 hours for free. So you could have a watch party on February 8th with your people in your neighborhood. I know people have driven all the way from Fillmore tonight to support me and support this film. And you can have like local screenings of people who are like-minded or people who are not like-minded. I mean, my parents were here today night and they bolted out afterwards. They're like, I love Biden. So I was like, the whole time. But like, you know, I mean, people need to like, look, you know, you can edumacate people, you know, and you can like open up their eyes. And you can also just, please, you can follow us on social media. We're at Letter of the American Church on all of the socials, mostly on Instagram, mostly on Facebook. But please share our content, encourage people, tell people. That's the way this is going to spread. So it's not just a film, it's a movement.
All right, everybody, work with me. We're going to get out your phone. Get out your phone. Everybody, get out your phone. I'm not asking, I'm telling. Get your camera. You have a camera on your phone. Put it right on that QR code and you can expand the screen and it'll pop a little yellow thing there. See that? You can't see my phone. And you just touch that yellow and the website pulls up. And if you're having problems, ask the 11-year-old next to you. Everybody got that? Did it work for you? Anybody having problems, ask the person next to you. Okay, I'll get out of the way. You have it here. What's that? Oh, the QR code is, thank you. The QR code is on the piece of paper you got on the way in. Thank you, dear. All right, you guys, I want to do a very large round of applause for these three amazing folks. And all of you as well. God bless you guys. Thank you. Squeeze in. They want a picture. This is for the newspaper.
Hold on.
Hang on.
I wasn't buttoned up here.
All right. This is our local paper, The Guardian. All right. Eric will be signing books in the back. God bless you guys. Thank you so much. And all glory to God. Amen.